Seven, Director's Report. I will turn that over to you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Commissioners. I don't have a long report, but there are a number of informational items I wanted to make you aware of, and then I wanted to ask Amy to talk a little bit about the Orca Task Force meeting that she attended yesterday, as well as our Diversity Advisory Committee meeting that occurred, I think, last week. Just a point of information, the Washington Supreme Court has agreed to take up the HPA jurisdiction on the HPA issue around jurisdiction. Remember, the several counties had challenged us as to whether our jurisdiction stopped at the ordinary high water mark or extended beyond that in some cases, and the lower courts have found that it does indeed extend beyond ordinary high water, and so the we'll get a final answer out of the Supreme Court probably next spring. I think we have a September 20th hearing scheduled for that issue. So that's progress. We have started a series of meetings. We held one so far with the...
Joe, are we currently operating under the decisions of the lower courts in terms of HPA?
Yes. Yes. And we have been for some time. Another point of information, we're in the we're in a discussion with the Olympic Peninsula tribes about tribal hunting agreements, and we had a pretty interesting meeting a couple of weeks ago that was very well attended by leadership of all the tribes, and you know, starting a discussion around how we might better approach tribal hunting, at least in that part of the geography, and coordinate between tribes as we do that. So I'm hopeful that this mid-July meeting will be another step forward towards coming together with tribes over these tribal hunting agreements. Had a kind of a fun event thinking about youth and youth participation, and I wanted to publicly thank Cabela's. We had a photo event at Cabela's last week. They donated 250 youth fishing poles to us that we'll use in our our events that we have for children or for children with disabilities. Just a real nice thing that they did there. So I want to thank them. And also, we learned about a grant program that Cabela's runs, where we might be able to obtain, at least compete for, additional funding to deal with these kinds of activities, various outreach activities. It's not a lot of money, but they collect. If you go in, for instance, and buy something for $9.50, you have the opportunity to donate the other 50 and just round it off to $10. And through that process, they collect around, I believe the number was around $10,000 a quarter. And you can compete for those dollars and use them for outreach or a variety of issues. We also had the Puget Sound Anglers in attendance at that photo op. So it's a neat partnership, and it was a fun activity. We had a number of staff there, and I think, Mr. Chair, they're all over it.
Also, I neglected to mention earlier that last Sunday I attended the celebration of Free Fishing Day.
Hell yeah.
At Beehive Reservoir in Wenatchee Heights. The department did an excellent job there of bringing together some other agencies, Trout Unlimited, there to help out. Very good turnout by enforcement staff to talk to the general public. Lots of prizes given out. Lots of kids caught their first fish ever. I wanted to mention that because, to my mind, these events that allow kids to catch their first fish are the best tool we have for recruitment for fishing. The families, in the past, when I've conducted other events, enforcement people have told me, these they see the rods and reels and t-shirts the very next day that these families engage with fishing, and it's a very important outreach tool for the department.
Yeah, thanks, Commissioner. If commissioners haven't attended one of those events, they're high energy. They're, as Commissioner Graybill said, they're family events and lots of smiles. So those are very very good to attend. Region 5, our regional director, as you know, John Long resigned to take on another position, and we started the recruitment for to refill that position. A group of five of us, Amy, Mick Cope from the Wildlife Program, Kelly Cunningham from the Fish Program, and Jana Gelott, the office manager down in Ridgefield, were part of an interview panel, and we interviewed six individuals. We're pretty pleased with the quality of applicants that we had there. And we've got recommendations that we're going to hold for the new director, and have the new director involved get some direction from him or her about next steps. We're thinking about external parties as we move forward, and as well as staff. But we are making some progress, and again, we were pretty happy with the candidates that we got there. So progress there. Commissioner Smith mentioned the Salish Sea Conference, and I thought it was an interesting event. The thing that stood out for me is the Swinomish chair, Brian Cladisby, made a point of noting that, in his words, they're 9-0. The tribes are 9-0 on legal issues related to tribal treaty rights. And the whole notion about impacts to tribal treaty rights is becoming a pretty significant part of the tribe's engagement or intervention in a variety of different projects. And just to follow up on that, I think everybody's heard that the state or the federal Supreme Court tied in a 4-4 vote on the tribe's culvert case that's been ongoing for 10, 15 years. And so now we have a final, because it was a tie that upheld the tribal suit, and so now we've got some direction to move forward, and our habitat program is very engaged via the culvert coordination with other entities, and we'll be working to support WDOT and counties as they take on the repair of culverts on their lands. Just to remind the commission, we have gone through, as well as DNR, and pretty much taken care of the culverts on our lands. The forest industry probably led the charge in a lot of ways. They have completed, done a lot of work and completed repair of culverts on their lands. So a lot of attention now is going to go to funding for DOT, as well as local governments. But we'll be moving forward there. Let's see, a couple more issues. Wanted to point out the work that we're doing in Washington, D.C. This is in your report, but I wanted to give some kudos to Megan West and our team there. We participated with state agencies, tribes, and other non-governmentals on a Puget Sound Day back in D.C., spent some time with the U.S. Army Corps, the Assistant Secretary of the Army Civil Works, and the OMB on Puget Sound Nearshore Ecosystem Restoration Projects. I think you remember that in the President's budget, we didn't have funding for those for that initiative, and so we're trying to build support and expect to see some funding in the federal budget that ultimately comes out. Wanted to also celebrate a little bit on rockfish. We've been working with National Marine Fisheries Service, and through that effort, we've successfully rebuilt three rockfish stocks, dark blotched, Pacific Ocean Perch, and Boccaccio. NOAA Fisheries has officially removed them from the overfished list. You know, and these These rockfish were constraining the West Coast trawl fishery, so that constraint now will be reduced or eliminated to a large extent. Another piece of the good news is another overfished rockfish species, the yellow eye, that is caught on a hook and line gear. Those fisheries occur where trawling isn't accessible. And so they have constrained the recreational and commercial hook and line fisheries. And through the work that we've done with the federal agency, we expect that recovery to be advanced by 60 years to 2026 estimated completion date. So some real success going on there, a lot of hard work through the Pacific Marine Fisheries Council, and some good news for everybody. So wanted to point that out.
Back to the culvert case, you may not know the answer to this, but since we're moving into DOT and local government issues, I know one of the positions the state has taken is that the federal government has some responsibility, and since funding has been our concern in terms of moving forward, do you know whether we're getting assistance from the federal government in culvert removal?
I don't believe we're getting the assistance that we had hoped for. Now, with the culvert case now decided, that conversation will probably change some. But I believe, I might be wrong, but I believe this has primarily been a state-funded effort because its state agencies have been involved. And then the forest industry took care of their own, so. Oh, well, yeah, two things before I turn it over to Amy. I spoke last time about the awards ceremony that we do here at headquarters. We're about to embark on a similar recognition ceremony in all the regions, and we'll be doing that from a week from Monday. We'll be in Region 2, Ephrata, and then we've got dates for all the other regions that take us through July, and you're all invited to attend any of those if you'd like. It's a chance to hear about what staff have accomplished. It's a chance to acknowledge people who have put in 10, 20, 30. I think we had somebody who had 55 years with the agency at one point. So it's a chance to recognize those folks, and it's a pretty fun event. The other reminder for your calendar, the WAFWA meeting is taking place in Eugene, Oregon, July 12th through 17th. And there are, you know, special events there and sessions for commissioners. You can, I know some of you have attended these in the past. You can, you know, compare notes with commissioners from other states and listen to the issues that they're taking on. And then I believe there are also director commissioner joint meetings on a variety of topics. So if you're interested in that, let us know and we can help get you set up. You can also go in and Google WAFWA summer meeting and get the agenda and lots of information there. So just wanted to make sure you're aware of that. With that, then, I'll turn it over to Amy to cover two other issues.
Okay. Thank you, Director. Thank you, Chair Smith, Commissioners. So I thought I'd give a quick update on the Southern Resident Killer Whale meeting that was yesterday. It is a very full room. Everyone's around the table. The back of the room is full of people. There's a lot of interest in this issue, which I think, you know, I don't know of any other way to make progress on natural resource issues except to bring people together and get people excited about improved outcomes. So in that regard, I would say it's already doing a pretty great job. So the job of yesterday was for the task force to get together and review the first 5 to 10 options that were brainstormed by the work groups in dealing with the prey issue, the toxic issue, and the vessel issue. And so we reviewed them. Essentially, some of the core questions were, where can we make a difference around prey? So we can do a lot of work on hatcheries. Where are the most important places to make progress on hatcheries? How does that interact with HGMPs, which are some of the questions that you all have? A lot of questions about what can we do in this coming brood year to make a difference, and Commissioner McIsaac talked about some of those changes that the department is already working on. Around vessels, there were two big pieces about the vessel noise. One was that there is a geographic component, like how do we protect the geography of where the whales are hanging out, and then how do we protect the area around the whales themselves, and how do we do that in a way that doesn't overly impact mariners, basically, and fishermen. And so we discussed those issues. Some of the things that I learned yesterday that I thought were really interesting is that when the whales are transiting and feeding in the San Juans and north of the San Juans, due to vessels, they are blind about 5.5 hours a day. I also learned that in the last 3 years, we have had no viable baby whales, and they're supposed to be reproducing at about 3 babies a year. So with those two pieces of information, it just to me speaks to, you spoke about the pygmy rabbits. It is tenuous, and action really is needed in the immediate future. So I'm feeling very hopeful about the task force, and there are going to be some hard decisions to be made. Okay, I'd like to talk about the Diversity Advisory Committee. And I'd also, before I do that, I'd like to talk about some work that the Wildlife Program has done around the Safe Best Workplace. Eric Gardner has really led a very impressive effort to talk with the Wildlife Program and folks beyond the Wildlife Program about what it is like right now to work at the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and what do we want for the future. And his staff have put together a very nice report sort of summarizing some of the key things that we can change to make DFW a better place to work. The Diversity Advisory Committee has sort of picked up that piece of work and is looking at it as well. We now have a charter, the sort of the who, what, and how is this committee going to be moving forward. The committee came up with 3 focus areas. How do we improve recruitment and retention of diversity within the department? How do we overall promote a safe and inclusive workspace? And how do we deal with preventing sexual harassment, sexual violence, and bullying in the workplace? So we now have those 3 subcommittees are up and running. And I just feel like this group of people, it's across all the regions, it's across the hierarchy of our organization. They are working very hard. They're really committed to this. And I really see it as a pretty great conversation to move us forward to be a really amazing place to work. So that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna.
That's it. Anything, any questions? No. Seeing none, then we will.